When the giants tower over my face, and I'm frozen by the battles I face, there is just one place I go to be
gracious God, we thank you for who you are and who you continue to be in each of our lives. Forgive us for each and every known sin, words, thoughts, or deeds. And we thank you for what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary for me. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to take it and make it real. Make it real unto the listener and continue to make it real for my life. May the listener understand and see. They didn't tune in by accident. May they know, the believer of the household of faith, that irrespective of what's going on, when they think God is not present, that he is. In Jesus' name we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. All right, so what was the king's plan? You remember the last time? Now, you know I'm not going to go back over with you. You can feel free to tune in and catch up on if you want to. But what was the king's plan? Better yet, you know, since God is not mentioned, where's God? Now, you already know if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you already know, based upon the word and whatever trials you've undergone in your own life, that God is still in control. So, give you a little hint. So the king, that man, with that powerful title, maybe that's you, somewhere in a political position, educational position, criminal justice position, medical position, sociology position, law enforcement position. You name the position, behind the pulpit, sitting in the pew, in the hall. You got rid of that queen in your life, that lady, based on that temporary title that you got. So, yes, the last time we left off, Ahasuerus is the king Xerxes. Left him in a bad state. 4 years have gone by since he ruled against Vashti at the banquet. And remember now, Vashti was the queen. You remember why he did it? You know how we men are with pride. Come on, man, go ahead and admit it. And while we're admitting it, ladies, you have your own pride. God looks at it all as the same. But remember the king had that expensive and costly conflict, you know, against Greece. And remember how it had failed. And remember how he had to go back home. And when he went back home, remember he had to go back in humiliation, because he had been defeated. You remember how his servants saw that he was depressed and loneliness. And they wanted to do something to kind of, you know, make him happy or cheer him up. So they suggested. Remember now, there was no lady in his life. You know, remember how we talked about over in Genesis, how God, from the creation standpoint, I created the man and the lady. And remember you heard me say, those of you men and ladies and men out there around the globe, we got a problem with God. We got a problem with Genesis. Take the problem up with God. And if you don't do it here, then when your name is called, meaning when your earthly life is over, it'd be interesting what you ask him then. You know, it's true. So anyway, his servants, you know, they wanted to do something to cheer him up. So they suggested a pageant be held, you know, for the king's favor that would bring in the most beautiful women from, remember now, in his kingdom, he had 127 provinces. And believe it or not, that's where the story is really going to start. You ready for it? Because in this story, you're going to see the hand of God. You're going to see the hand of God moving in the background, especially surrounding the events that's going to occur, palace. But let me ask you a question. You don't mind, do you? You know, when you leave your home or whatever you happen to be at, do you ever look around at your surroundings? Do you ever each morning, each day, see something brand new that you didn't see the day before? Well, it's going to be interesting what's going to happen in the background at the palace. Because on the surface, you know, it looked like nothing spiritual was going on. But you're going to see how that God was overruling the events of the day. Do you notice, again, God is not mentioned? And do you notice maybe even in your own life, when you're not mentioning God, that he's still in control and he's still working it all out for you, because you understand you're in a trial waiting for one or coming out of one, my brethren of the household of faith? But you already knew that, didn't you? And what you're going to find as we look in the palace about the spirituality warfare going on behind the scenes, remember Daniel when he prayed? Do you remember that story? I know you're going to go look at it. Remember Job and his trial? Remember behind the scenes? But in his providence, you see how God is arranging events so that at the proper time, he'd have somebody close to the king to intervene for his people. And when I think about it, you know, those of you who know the word of God, those of you who are growing in the Word of God, do you notice when you look at, irrespective of what's going on in Israel, do you notice, irrespective of when it looks dark and dim, do you notice how God is always going to come through? And if you know the Word of God and you know the promises of God and God does not lie, do you think he's really going to let something happen to Israel? Do you really think so? Or have you not been paying attention since day one, like we're going to do in this story? So God's going to have somebody close to the king. And the reason why he's going to have them so that they can intervene for his people. And you're going to notice that the focus of the story is now going to turn on a man named Mordecai. Now think about that. Keep that name in mind because he is a Jew. And what we're going to learn is that he belonged to the royal family of Israel, to the family of Saul. And one of the first raids led by, as I look for my watcher, Nebuchadnezzar, you'll find that Mordecai as a boy, you know, man, you know one time you were a boy. Ladies, you know one time you were a little girl. Come on now. Well, Mordecai had been carried out of Israel into captivity. And then so Mordecai is going to hear about this. Remember now, the king got rid of his lady. And you remember how and why. You remember those guys with titles? You know they weren't going to go home to their lady and all of a sudden have them do what the king's lady did to him. Remember that's how they came up with that law? Well, so Mordecai heard about the beauty pageant. And of course he thought of his cousin Esther. Remember Esther? Oh, Queen Esther. Oh, so now you're turning in your Bible. Oh, okay. Well, Esther is one that he had raised like a daughter. Persian name meant star. And you remember now, today, name of Persia is, go ahead. I know you know, Iran. And when you get a chance in your spare time, you know you got time. Read Esther chapter 2. Read the total chapter. Read the total book for Esther chapter 2, you know, verses 4 through 15, and then Esther chapter 2, verses 16 through chapter 3, verse 6 and 11. Esther was a very beautiful young woman. And when you look in the Word, really read it, study it, apply it to your life, that which is applicable. Because remember, now all scripture is not to you, but it's for you. But anyway, her Jewish name was Hadassah. And when you get into the Word, you see how that reference a myrtle bush coming to Israel. You know, it's rubbed with a star-shaped flower. So inside now, Esther was lovely. And you'll see in the Word of God, could you imagine ladies, of all cultures and skin tones, could you imagine what Mother Eve looked like? Men, women, you remember what your mom looked like? You remember what how handsome your dad looked? Could you imagine what Adam looked like? It's okay, imagine it. I know there's somebody who's going to try to put a damper on your imagination. But Esther was lovely. And, you know, some people are going to question if God approved of, guess what? That beauty pageant. Well, let me ask you a question. You know, Miss, whatever your state is, Miss, whatever your country is, Miss Universe, Miss Globe. Now, the question is, why would God's people, the Jews, be involved in beauty pageants? Well, in this case, you got to remember. So while you remember, I'm going to take a sip of my water because it's staring at me. Staring at it more than staring at me, keeping it real. You remember how that the Jewish community were operating outside of God's will at this time? And you remember how God permits many things that he doesn't approve, like in your life and my life? Remember how he can and will rule through these events, these trials that you and I are going through today? Oh, you forgot that? Especially even when he doesn't approve it. Well, in the story that we're talking about, you know, the book of Esther, now we're going to get a chance to see, and we're going to see how God overruled the events of the day, including our today. Because you got to remember, there are a lot of believers, maybe that's you. Remember the prodigal son? Is he correlated to the prodigal daughter? There's a lot of believers living, you know, out of the will of God today. And you notice that you're not motivated or directed to do God's will, but God is still directing you by his providence. Do you notice that? And if you notice that, do you notice that sometimes, we ain't got to get into a theological and doctrine and all that, but do you notice sometimes we call this the meeting of God? And so as we get into further Esther, because we set the foundation the last two times, Esther entered the beauty pageant. And that's thanks to the permissive will of God. Because as we've learned, God's providence was at work. Remember now, providence is the hand of God and the glove of circumstances. And we see how that God's hand was moving the glove of circumstances in Esther's story. And you notice if you're really paying attention based upon your trials, he's doing the same thing with you, and he's doing the same thing with me in our lives. But Mordecai, remember now, we're talking about her cousin, you know, the one that raised her. Remember now, he lived in Suzanne's palace. He had some type of minor position, kind of like those of you who are in some form of hat. Of somebody's palace, you know, around the globe or someone's mansion. So think of it that way. But you have an important position. It may be a minor one to you, but it's important. You know, Romans chapter 13 talks about the position being ordained to God. And I always tell individuals who happen to be supervisors, and they may be a janitorial supervisor. They may be a housekeeping supervisor. Do you know the position is ordained of God? K.I. was in the land proving that he was disobedient to God's command to return to Jerusalem. So, since the foundation has now been laid again, let's see how God works. Because when you look at Mordecai and his job, you notice how he watched these beauty pageants as they came from the different regions of the empire. And, you know, he probably said to himself, you know, like you can do. He probably looked at all those ladies. And he probably said, you know, they're not as nearly as beautiful. And you remember, your mom probably said the same thing. Your dad, your relatives, they probably said. And you know, mom probably said about their sons, and dad probably said about their daughters, all proud. There's nothing wrong with that. Different type of pride. But Mordecai probably said Esther could win the king's heart, but he didn't know for sure. Because you got to remember now, he's disobeying God because God had told his people not to intermarry. He's breaking the Mosaic law when he entered Esther into this beauty pageant whose reward was a Persian crown. And he was also running the risk that if Esther didn't win, that she would live the rest of her life as the king's concubine in his town. And so Mordecai willingly risked exposing Esther to this life that was going to be awful if she didn't win. But he did it anyway. Now you got Esther. She's entering the beauty pageant. She's turned over to one of the guys in charge, Gideon, coming in God's providence. You know, I tell the story on different projects that God has blessed me to be a part of. And when you go in the door, recognizing that's the door God would have you go in, it's always somebody trying to put you at the bottom when God is going to have you at the top. There's always somebody trying to put you over there when God wants you over there. And if you pay attention to that, then you notice how God always arranges you for you to be exactly where he wants you to be at, irrespective of what other humans do. Do you notice that? You do pay attention to it. Well, in God's providence, Esther became Hegai's favorite. He got her maids to help her and all the makeup she wanted to make herself even more attractive. And you know what? I want you to take a moment and think about it. As believers of the household of faith, whether you're men or women, women or men, shouldn't we do the best we can with what God has blessed us with? By taking care of ourselves on the inside and the outside as well. Well, Esther, she looked like a winner to everybody. And so she was put up front. That's God's hand at work. The favor of God. That's what I'm talking about. You can identify. I know you can. But before I continue, do you recognize God's hand at work in your life? Now, let me tell you, I'm going to raise all 20 of my hands. You say, Gary, something wrong. What's wrong? Gary, you only got two. I know, but of acknowledging God who's been with me since day one. I have 20 hands today, so I'm going to raise them. So you recognize God's hand at work in your life. And you may not have appreciated it. And you may not have truly understood it at the time, but do you recognize it? Because the one thing Esther did not reveal in this beauty pageant on behalf of this king was that she was a Jew. You see, Mordecai had cautioned her against it because he knew the minute she revealed her nationality, she would reveal her faith. And the Jews were thought to be odd with strange laws and practices because their enemies said they don't worship idols like us. Let me ask you a question. You don't mind, do you, believer of the household of faith? Are you worshiping idols today in place of the living God of the Scripture and our Savior who died for us? Mordecai stayed as close to Esther as he could. Do you notice when you're reading the word how he walked every day in the courtyard in the palace, watching to find out how she was? I mean, we don't know if they had prayed about this decision, or maybe Mordecai was worried up all night wondering if he had made the right decision. And sometimes, you know, faith, F-A-I-T-H, is not faith at all because it's foolishness. You've been to heaven? I have. And we're talking about where God has never asked you, me, anybody to take a leap in the dark. But the question you got to ask and answer in your life while walking around you rather than anybody else, have you ever took a leap in the dark and later learned how foolish it was? I have. On that, I got 12,000 hands up. Well, here you got Mordecai. Remember now, he was out of God's will, so he hasn't anything to rest on at all. And it goes on like this for 1 year. Here you got Mordecai. He waits. And Esther is hidden away, attending to all the beauty treatments that she wanted. But during this time, the other contestants, one by one, think about it, they would have one night with the king. And you know the custom at that time, if he wasn't pleased with that person, and they didn't ask for them again by name, well, guess what would happen? She'd go to another house where she'd be a concubine. And that's the life Mordecai and Esther was willing to risk. You say, Gary, why are they willing to risk that? Well, we got to continue the story because each time the story is going to get more powerful than before. Think about when was Esther's turn to visit the king. She had everybody rooting for her, you know. She did. Or did she? Because you know you, human nature. You're going to act like on the outside. You're really rooting for that person on the inside. You all envious and jealous and hatred. And are you? Well, Esther, think about it when you read the word. Look at that natural beauty. Look at that sweet disposition. Is this the hand of God moving? Yeah. Is this the will of God? No. Think about it. This is God moving by providence. Remember, God is working a plan to put Esther on the throne next to the king in order to, guess what? You ready for it? You sure? To save the whole Jewish nation. Anything going on today? Has anything been going on in the history of the Jewish community? You sure? Have you noticed, God? You sure? Let me ask you a question. You don't mind, do you? Do you understand your role that God have you at in your home? Do you understand your role that God have you at the place of worship? In your job? In the political world? Especially for such a time as now. Do you really understand? You know, just as everybody had hoped, Esther, she won the king's favor in his heart, and she did it over every other woman in the kingdom. And now he put that royal crown on her head and made her his queen. And think about it, the king is so delighted with her that he he cut everybody's tax bill. I know you wish they'd do that for you, would you not? Now think about this. Did it happen by chance or accident? No. Because you got to remember, Esther received the favor by the providence of Almighty God. Now I want you to think about that. Come along and try to act like they did this for you, they did that for you. Oh, okay. And you're gonna give them the glory and not God, the one that you know has been with you. But here you got God making arrangements to protect his people. And this is how he did it. Think about it. He gave us the background in chapter 1 when we started off. Think about it. A great pagan palace where a drunken orgy is taking place in the banqueting hall. He lets us see how he overrules by his providence. Think about it. Remember what happened with the king and the queen when he got all drunk trying to please all his little leaders? He overrules by his providence. That's what God does. You know, what little humans and Satan does down here on earth, this should be a comfort to the children of God today. Was it a comfort to you, my brethren of the household of faith? Because you got to remember now, with Esther on the throne, Mordecai now rose in position in the king's palace. Think about it. He's now the judge in the king's gateway. He overhears something. And what he overhears is something important. Because you're talking about two men, Victim and Peresh, who were on the king's staff. What were they doing that caused Mordecai to overhear something from them that could affect the whole Jewish nation? Well, the next time. You say, Gary, the next time. It gives you a chance to study the word, read the word, go in prayer, apply the word. But the next time, what did Mordecai hear from these two men that could affect the Jewish community? Let me ask you another question. You don't mind, do you? How about the spiritual watchmen and women of your community and mine? What do you hear? What are you doing about it? What has God led you to do about it? For such a time as now. You've gotten on your knees. You've asked God, use me for your glory. Lead me. Allow your Holy Spirit to open my lips and say what you would have me say. Let me stand for you under your power. Let me not fear any man, that woman, that man. Only you, O God, for such a time as now.
This is for that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. For that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story, tell you a story?
You can lean on me.
There's a man,
oh yeah,
standing on the corner. He has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying out?
A man, a girl, searching for a father and a friend, praying that soon someday will end. But instead of walking away, oh,
I'm my friend, but you're also my brother.
Here's my shoulder. You can lean.